Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Hello, hello, and welcome to the new episode of the Human Technology Podcast. At the moment, I am developing a new keynote, and it will be on the biggest challenges we have in the automotive HMI world that I see. Probably I will be giving it in the mid of June at the WeConnect Car HMI event. But since you are my dedicated podcasting audience, my listeners, you will get a little spoiler up front. So I will talk about basically the content that I'm thinking about. It's all under development. Nothing is fixed yet. But at the end of the day, I will talk about things that come up in automotive HMI development, challenges that I see, and challenges that might not yet have been addressed properly. Designing human machine interfaces in the automotive domain today, I mean, has never been really trivial, but today it is absolutely challenging. For decades, development followed a relatively clear pattern: more functions, more technology, more possibilities. ISO 9241, 110 for usability as a basis, the 210 for user experience, and yes, all this gave us a pretty clear path that we should go, a pretty clear way to go. And the HMI served as an analog digital analog translator in the car. So humans, we are analog beings. We are doing analog things, and we're having analog fingers and voices, and then we have this piece of glass and the microphone, and we really touch on the glass and we speak into the microphone, and then the HMI turns this into digital data that then is delivered to a black box, a digital black box, and something is happening there. And the result of that, what is happening there, is brought back to this piece of glass or the loudspeaker, and then we can see something on a screen, or we can hear something, a beep tone or a voice or some speech, all that is. Yeah, so that is the traditional one. And this link function that the HMI has was sometimes better, sometimes worse, but basically the core role was stable. These times may be over soon. We are experiencing a simultaneity of disruptions that has never existed in this form and in our industry before. Automated driving up to autonomous driving is fundamentally changing the role of humans in the vehicle. Artificial intelligence is questioning the entire interaction paradigm, and new players, especially from China, are bringing completely different ideas of what a vehicle HMI should look like, what a vehicle really is, and how a vehicle actually should work. And that is only the tip of the iceberg. Beneath the surface, further challenges are emerging that are at least as profound, from software-defined vehicles to the questions of the right level of display and interaction to connected HMI ecosystems that are existing and have long since long extended. And yeah, the HMI is going beyond the vehicle itself. And what is often overlooked, it's not longer just about usability. It's about trust, it's about control, it's about cognitive relief. It's ultimately about the question of what role humans still play in an increasingly autonomous, intelligent, and distributed system. In this episode, I provide an overview of what I consider the greatest challenges in automotive design. In the coming weeks, I will have a loose series where I will explore individual aspects in more detail. I will dive deeper into details, and so this one is just like an overview episode. One thing is clear: if we do not truly understand these challenges, we will continue to build technology that can do everything except fit the people who are supposed to use it. Yeah, to today, this introduction episode is on the greatest challenges in automotive HMIs. The starting point of a cool series where I will elaborate the meta themes. Today, I have 3 points I'd like to talk about. Number one, the 3 obvious challenges that we have. Then number 2, the 5 underestimated challenges. And number 3, the 1 biggest, greatest, outstanding challenge that we have. All right, 3 obvious challenges, 5 underestimated challenges, and the 1 meta challenge. Let's start with the obvious challenges: automation, artificial intelligence, and HMIs from China. Automation. When the system, the car, the technology suddenly drives. Automation in cars is nothing new. Until now, however, it has primarily taken over secondary tasks from automatic gearboxes, rain sensors, light sensors, electric window lifters. Now, the character of automation is fundamentally changing. The system intervenes into the actual driving task. So at the moment, we are changing the core relationship between car and driver, between the rolling robot and the human brain. So we are changing this core relationship. And at the end, this means the vehicle shifts from a tool, a passive tool, to an actor, an active actor. So we move from interface to interaction on almost equals. And this massively changes the role of the HMI. It's no longer just about usability, bad, and user experience and user delight, but it's about central questions. Who is in control at the moment? Who's driving? What is the system doing? And why is the system doing this? When does the human need to intervene? So basically, what will happen next? Next, in the near future, in the next couple of seconds, maybe up to a minute, what will happen then? These are the things we definitely need to display, to communicate when we talk about HMIs in automated or autonomous vehicles. So the HMI becomes more a mediator between humans and machine. Yeah, and the critical points are the communication of states and the design of handovers, the handover from the driver to the car, which I see a little less critical, but definitely critical is the handover from the car to the driver. So when I drive with my level 2 automation in, on the German Autobahn, and suddenly the lane markers end, then the system pushes the steering task back to me. And sometimes this comes as a surprise. So we need to communicate this. How will this relationship between car and driver change in the near future? Handovers, as I described it, are not an exception. They are the norm. They happen frequently. Yeah, and ambiguity means uncertainty. So it is a safety thing that we're talking about here. Automation, automated car, all cars only work if users understand what's going on, at least in terms of its behavior. We will never really understand what an automation algorithm is doing, what's happening on the software level, but the behavior. We need to understand the behavior. We need to be able to predict it. So we need to create transparency instead of black boxes. We need to make system behavior anticipable. Is this word existing? Anticipable? We made able to anticipate. We need to make the systems able to be anticipated. We need a constant, context-sensitive, constant, continuous feedback. So with automation, automotive HMIs are fundamentally changing from an interface to a system that organizes control, that organizes responsibility, and that creates trust. So we as HMI designers, we are no longer just designing interfaces. We are designing the collaboration between humans and machines. And I have always been critical about saying, okay, we have a collaboration between humans and machine, because the human is definitely the superior being and needs to be the master, and the machine is the slave. With AI coming in, I'm ready to use the word collaboration, because yeah, the machine makes suggestions and improves and so on. So I'm already talking about the AI, although I'm theoretically still in the automation. But you can see it's all somehow connected. It's all not really independent. Number two of the three big challenges: artificial intelligence, AI. From interface to an interaction partner. Artificial intelligence is entering the vehicle on a rapid pace. Voice assistant, personalized functions, learning systems, they are no longer futuristic concepts. They're at least visible, if not already implemented. The real disruption lies deeper. AI does not just change its functions. It changes the principle of the interaction itself, from a deterministic system to a probabilistic system. We are not talking about a one-to-one input-output kind of thing anymore, but about a system that changes itself, that interprets, that seems to think and seems to know. So put it in a different way. Traditional HMIs follow clear rules. You make an input and you get a defined response. AI systems work on differently. They interpret, they evaluate, they anticipate. And results are no longer always clearly predictable. And for users, this means there is less direct control. There is more interpretation by the system. And there is more, and this is critical, uncertainty in the behavior of the system. So we move in from menu driven interactions to relationships. With AI, the interaction shifts from traditional menus to dialogues, from operating to collaborating, from being a sheer tool to be an apparent partner. The HMI becomes interaction partner with all the consequences. We have expectation management. Biggest challenge for me, we need to manage the expectations of the user. And I see this as extremely difficult. What can the AI really do? Yeah, we need to communicate this. What are the limits? And where does it work reliably and where not? So expectations that are far too high lead to frustration, and too little expectation leads to wasted potential of AI, HMIs, and maybe even safety critical features. So we need transparency instead of magic. Yeah, not what AI systems look like today as a black box. Yeah, this black box paradigm in a vehicle may turn out to be problematic. The HMI must make its decisions understandable, needs to communicate them and make them understandable. It needs to communicate uncertainty. It needs to keep the limits of itself visible. Don't get me wrong, not everything needs to be explained, but enough needs to be explained to enable trust. To summarize, AI elevates automotive HMIs to a new level, from a pure interface to a system that interprets, decides, and actively interacts. The central challenge is not the technology itself, but the question, how do you design an interaction that feels intelligent without taking control away from humans? The third obvious biggest challenge in automotive eye that I see, China HMIs. When different worlds collide. Chinese vehicles are entering international markets at high speed, and they bring their own HMI concepts with them. The problem is these concepts are not simply designed in a different way. They are based on different usage reality, different user experiences, different use cases, different contexts. So things are different there. We have different users. Yeah, the user group in China, the age of people that buy their first car is something around 35 or something, the average buyer, every car buyer age. No, not the first car. In general, the car buyer age is in the mid-30s. In Europe, US, it's in the mid-50s. That is one reason. But in China, the car is part of the digital ecosystem people have. So you have your smartphone, you have a tablet, you have your smartwatch, and then you have your car, which also needs to be part of this ecosystem. This means in China, it's digital first, with a high feature affinity. Features are always welcome. The strong integration of services, of entertainment, of building of ecosystem. In China are different expectations regarding personalization, speed, feature scope. And this then leads to HMIs that are, from a European, US view, significantly more feature-rich, more, too much, sometimes playful, and definitely more software-centric. For many European or US users, this quickly appears overloaded, unclear, simply irrelevant. And the real problem is the lack of translation. The transfer of these HMIs into Western markets is often not well done, let's put it that way. It starts with the sheer language. Yeah, it's clumsy, it's incorrectly localized. And a few months ago, I was sitting in a couple of different Chinese cars. I'm not a native speaker. And they were all in English, and I'm not a native speaker, but even I felt that this language is definitely not correct. It's not fluent, it's not nice, it's not elegant. And that's where it starts. It continues with the visual design. Yeah, it's not aligned with Western expectations. Color sets, icons, the general overall quality. Yeah, the interaction logic is a problem that somehow seems to be a little unfamiliar, sometimes counterintuitive. Yeah, and then there are features that we don't understand. I just didn't understand it. What is this for? And maybe this makes sense, probably this makes sense in China with a bigger ecosystem, with other features, other use cases, we talked about it, difference in China. But they don't work in Europe. And at the end, we have a system that is technically usually absolutely impressive, but not really easy to understand and to accept. There is a strategic conflict. Many Chinese OEMs face a dilemma. The domestic market, the Chinese market, the China market is the main driver. This is where they sell a lot of cars. This is where they want to have a footprint. The international markets are not really in the core focus. They want to go to Europe. They want to go to the US, however successful they may be. But these markets still need to be developed. And in practice, this often means we in Europe, we get an adapted version of an HMI, which was originally, primarily developed for China and only adapted on the very low levels. And this is exactly where the problems lie. Yeah, the challenge is not to just translate Chinese HMIs. The challenge is to rethink them based on the respective users, markets, cultural contexts, use cases, traffic concepts, driving behaviors, and so on and so on. This is a good message for people like me. We can do the job. We can help Chinese OEMs and Chinese first-tier suppliers to understand the European market and to adapt their solutions so that they fit nicely into our world here. A globally successful car maker, a globally successful automotive HMI is not just created by exporting something, but by developing a original, fully adapted intercultural design for the different markets. All right, so those were the three biggest challenges that I see at the moment. Let's move on to the five challenges that I feel are very often not in the focus, but that also have a strong influence. And number one are software-defined vehicles. The HMI becomes a moving target. So vehicles are evolving into software-centric system and they continuously change. I always compare this with the situation we have in the smartphone market. So if we all turn off our smartphones and put them display up side by side, it is very hard for us to say which one is which brand, which operating system. Sometimes we cannot even detect our own smartphone between all the others because they are absolutely similar. Of course, there are different display sizes and frames and whatever. At the very end of the day, they look very similar. And the difference comes with software. So Which apps are you having? Which color scheme do you apply? How does your start screen? Which widgets do you have on the main screen? Yeah, all these things, they make the difference. And cars will follow the same way, so that they look all more or less the same and are software driving software platforms or hardware platform for software. And then the user experience, the branding and everything comes through software. And you can adapt it, you can change it. And how often do you find, oh, there is a new icon on an app, or they have changed the HMI of an app? And this will also happen in cars. So interfaces are no longer static, but regularly updated. Yeah, so users must not only orient themselves once, but continuously over lifetime. And consistency becomes a central design task across the different HMI versions. And I can foresee that we will have a couple of HMI paradigms that are fixed for a single HMI. And then on top of that, there will be changes and adaption. So it's a delicate balance between the consistency, things are the way I expect them to be, things are the way they have always been, things are here where they are somewhere else. Yeah, this is consistency. And this becomes a central design task to balance this with the flexibility that you have in software. So the challenge at the end is not innovation, not only innovation, but stability in change. This is what I see as critical. Number two, peak display. Yeah, less is suddenly more. This a few years ago, we had these A to A pillars displays. The complete dashboard is a display, and that there has not been any concept, any future car, where you do not have this. Today, it looks totally different. There are a few cars that have it, but most of them have a more or less traditional architecture with a display behind the steering wheel, another one in the center stack or on top of the center stack, and then maybe a head-up display. So we have reduced the display real estate in vehicles. And so probably because we found out all digital is not good, we're all analog beings, and more surface does not automatically mean better usability. Yeah, at the end, we had the problem that we had to fill space there. Yeah, there was a lot of empty space on many of these display concepts because they just didn't know what to put there, which is exactly the opposite of what we had 25 years ago, where a 6-inch display was the big one. It was the luxury display, 6 inches. And we had to decide, we as HMI designers, what do we show, which way? Because there was limited space. And we are returning to this. Yeah, we will need to think, and it's a good exercise, it's a positive exercise, about reduction and prioritization. Yeah, that becomes crucial again. We must design a way that important information is easy to grasp and quickly to understand. And this then, and we see this tendency in the revenge of the analog physical controls regain importance. So the focus shifts from show everything to a guiding selective design. Number three, multimodality. We are having touch, voice, haptic, gestures. Yeah, technically, it is all possible. The real challenge lies in the meaningful combination, not just adding another channel, not just putting something on top that already works. So the clear assignment is, which channel is for which task? Where does it create a real value? Yeah, we need to avoid conflicting interactions. At the end, it is about the orchestration instead of adding input. So multimodality only works as an fully integrated, orchestrated system, not as a meaningless add-on of features. Number four, trust and transparency. As system complexity continuously increases, the trust becomes a critical success factor. So system states must always be clearly understandable, visible. Yeah, decisions must remain traceable. Uncertainty must be actively addressed. Because at the end, without transparency, there is no acceptance. There's only rejection. And limited transparency is a safety issue. And number five of the, from my point of view, underrated HMI challenges is HMI ecosystems. Yeah, the interface leaves the car. We used to have the one-to-one-to-one paradigm, yeah, one device and one location with one function, and that is gone. So HMIs are leaking into everywhere. Yeah, so the vehicle is not the only location anymore of an interaction with the vehicle. We can interact it from our apps and from our PCs, and maybe one day we have a screen on our refrigerator, and then we can check the car whether it's charged or not, or whether there are any software updates that we can install. And we don't even need to get into the car for this to do this. This is an HMI ecosystem, or as I call them, liquid HMIs. Problems are that we need to create a consistency across the different interaction instances, like the vehicle, like the app, like the refrigerator screen. We need to have a context-dependent and role-based use in this one. Where are we? Are we in a, let's say, safe situation at home on our sofas? Then we can, for example, think about different design themes and personalization and download that to the car. Once we're in the car, there are different things important and that should be done there. So I see the shift of complex interactions that are not necessarily while driving to external devices. The HMI becomes, at the very end, a distributed system and not just a single one-instance interface. These five challenges I just mentioned are less visible. They are strategically decisive because they do not concern individual features, but the fundamental architecture of modern HMIs. Yeah, HMIs become dynamic, reduced, connected, trustworthy, and designed as a system. So the future of automotive HMIs is not decided by major innovations, but by the ability to master these sometimes subtle, but definitely structural changes. All right, I talked about the three obvious challenges and the five not so obvious challenges in automotive HMI design, and now let's now talk about the meta challenge. Not losing the human in the systems. With all these technological developments, one fundamental question arises. Who are we actually designing for? Automation, AI, software-defined vehicles, more and more features, all of this creates enormous momentum. But this is exactly where the greatest danger lies, that we build systems that can do more and more, but fit humans, human needs, humans' ideas, human capabilities less and less. And the central challenge is not a technological challenge, it's a conceptual challenge. It's not the question what is possible. It is the question what creates value. A good automotive HMI is not defined by the number of its functions, but by the value it delivers to its users. And what value, what is value? Yeah? Technology in a vehicle must concretely improve human lives. Not abstract, but in the context of use. For example, faster. Yeah? Completing tasks faster and more efficiently. Making them safer. Reduce distraction. Make critical situations more manageable. Creating focus. Highlight what really matters and hide what does not matter. Making life simpler. Reducing complexity instead of increasing it. And everything that does not serve to these goals is just a ballast. It's just a burden. Yeah? It's useless cargo. Many current HMIs do not suffer from too little, but from too much. Too many functions, too many options, too many interaction paths. The result is not added value, but cognitive load. Up to cognitive overload. The human is the benchmark, not technology. The real meta challenge is to consistently place humans at the center. Capabilities, limitations, expectations, users' contest, dreams, wishes, all these are very human things and they must be the drivers of development. And technology must be aligned with this, not the other way around. The future of automotive HMI will not be decided by the next technology, but by the right priority. Value instead of features. The best technology is not the one that can do the most, but the one that makes people's lives noticeable better. All right, let's come to an end of this episode. The automotive HMI is at a turning point. We are seeing more technology, more possibilities, and more innovation than ever. And that is exactly why one thing is becoming increasingly clear. With the previous ways of thinking, we will not get any further. If we want to shape this development properly, it's not enough to optimize existing concept. We must fundamentally question these existing concepts. Away from feature thinking, away from isolated interfaces, away from technology for the sake of technology, toward a system that truly understands human, toward interactions that build trust, toward solutions that deliver real value. If you want to get this right, we need to rethink HMIs fundamentally. And this is what this episode was about. And I will dive in the next weeks deeper into a couple of these challenges I just mentioned, sharpen perspectives, discuss concrete approaches on how to design this, and yeah, how to handle automotive HMIs in an increasingly complex world. So, final sentence, the future of mobility is not decided on the road. It is the interface between humans and technologies. If you liked this podcast episode and you think it's worthwhile for others, why not recommending it to a couple of your peers, your friends, your colleagues? The more people who listen to this podcast, the higher I will be ranked, and even more people will be able to get my thoughts. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.